Rebecca Dawn didn't have enough time. Her alarm clock, an ancient windup with an analog display, had given out the night before, at 56 after midnight, to be precise, and now she was over half an hour late. Typically, she adhered to a tight schedule and cursed herself for letting a crude piece of dated technology throw her off. The tram plaza was nearly deserted. Her footsteps echoed off the concrete, tempo rising with each step. Though she was late, the rest of the city had yet to wake. The buildings on either side of her were dark, still lifeless. In 15 minutes, this place would be swarming with the citizens of New Hope all busying off to their respective workplaces. "Come on," she muttered, as the coffee vending machine buzzed to life. She tapped her wristband 3 times, as if she could will the damn machine to move faster. The cup clattered into the slot. She grabbed it before it could settle. Hot coffee spilled over the rim, dark smudges spreading across her blouse. "Great," she grumbled, rubbing at the stain in steady, impatient lines. "Now I have to clean this mess, another step in the process." For a moment, she considered turning back and heading home to change, but the tram wouldn't wait. And she couldn't be late for Forever Young. Not today, not ever. She had a spare shirt in her office, neatly folded in the bottom drawer of her desk. She always had a backup. The city of New Hope stretched around her, still asleep. Copper-brown lamps cast long shadows across the cobblestones. The air was too pure, too clean, and filtered to carry much scent. Congo humidity pressed lightly against her skin, a reminder that no filtration system could erase the fact that this city had been built on jungle soil. The moon was out this morning, half-lit and pale, hanging low above the line of towers. High above, the sky was blank. Not black but gray. No stars. Not even a shimmer. She had never seen one in her life. They were taken. The veil of dark matter, drifting high above the atmosphere, warps time in ways no one understands, and the stars were its first victim. The sun and moon forced their way through sheer mass. But the stars were too small. Still there, supposedly. One hoped. But too faint. According to the timetable, the next tram would not arrive for another 7 minutes. Great. All that hurrying just to wait. She sipped her coffee and leaned against the metal railing near the plaza platform. Her hair had come loose from walking so fast, and she redid her ponytail, pulling it high and tight. Most mornings, the 3-block walk from her quarters to the transit station was her time. A moment of stillness she could hold and appreciate before the noise of the day flooded back in. In a city where the hum of a generator was never out of earshot, the morning solitude was the closest she could ever get to true silence. She exhaled and closed her eyes, trying to find that moment again. But it was gone, shattered by a car starting on the corner. "Damn," she muttered. The usual whir of traffic and activity was beginning to emerge. In the distance, the Civic Tower's lights blinked on one floor at a time, each a silent heartbeat marking the start of the day. The buildings surrounding the plaza followed suit. Windows on every floor began to light up from early risers like clockwork. As Rebecca watched the city around her wake to the morning's birth, a man stepped out between 2 buildings and crossed the plaza. He was a few dozen feet from Rebecca, moving swiftly from one alley and heading for another. Something about his purposeful gait seemed familiar. His long coat was unbuttoned, collar turned slightly against the wind. 2 aides trailed a few paces behind him, quiet and watchful. He stepped under one of the low plaza lights and turned. Rebecca stood up. She had seen this face 100 times in policy briefings, archival lectures, and carefully edited recordings. Richard Connors. One of the architects of New Hope's early infrastructure, eventually appointed to the Civic Council. Now he served as a leader of the new independence movement. In college, she'd marched under his name as part of a swelling wave of protest. Back then, she believed his movement had been right, that the wanton use of dark matter was a violation of nature containing untold dangers. Time manipulation, reverse aging, they were playing God and just begging for a big old heaping of hubris. But that was youthful idealism. No great progress came without risk, and the benefits of dark matter use far outweighed the anxieties of a bunch of earnest college kids. death itself had become optional. And besides, whether she liked it or not, no one could reverse the meteor strike. Dark matter and all its revelations were here to stay. She'd rather be one of the few harnessing its power than waiting around for an unknown calamity to strike. At least, that's what she told herself. She had never met Richard Connors. Never seen him up close even. But now here he was, no mistake, not 20 feet from her. His pace faltered for the slightest moment as their eyes met. She froze. Something behind Richard Connors' expression shifted as he watched her, a flicker in his eyes so subtle she nearly missed it. Recognition. There you are, he seemed to say. Rebecca went to wave but stopped herself, not knowing why. He gave a slow imperceptible nod, then turned and continued on without looking back. The tram arrived, doors opening with a hiss. Rebecca stepped inside and took a window seat, still reeling. Maybe she had imagined it, her mind frazzled from running late. She took a long sip of coffee and shook her head. No, he had noticed her. Well, not simply noticed her, it was like he had expected her to be there. She didn't know him. He couldn't know her. And yet, he had. A few seats ahead sat an old man in a dated ball cap. A holographic display of yesterday's news projected from his watch, slowly scrolling with the movement of his eyes. Rebecca had barely noticed he said good morning, still processing Richard Connors' unexpected appearance. The tram moved effortlessly from the heart of the city to the outskirts, through a corridor of carved rock and glass walls, and out into the open air toward the ridge where the Forever Young headquarters waited. The sleek and angular facility looked like an enormous black shard that had come raging out of the sky and plunged deep into the hillside. The tram slowed down. The final bend revealed the main facility grounds. Neat walkways, bioglass panels, and perimeter drones lazily buzzing above a forest of satellite towers. Security didn't even glance at her as she strode by, ID badge knocking against her chest in metronomic fashion. The system recognized her bio data in an instant. She moved through the open white gate and along the glass corridor of the observation tier. The city stretched out in the distance below, glowing gold in the early sun. She punched her code at the elevator and went up to research level 14. The break room was empty, which suited her fine. She opened the fridge, pulled out a forgotten container of wilted greens, and sniffed it in disgust. A flick of her wrist sent it sliding into the time wave oven. The machine hummed. Light bent oddly around the glass as the air rippled backward. Within seconds, the lettuce unwilted, the dressing unseparated, and the salad bloomed with the freshness of the day it had been made. Rebecca looked at the leaves. Feels like cheating, she thought. Convenience outweighs some principles. She flipped on the overhead lights in the lab as she stepped inside, salad in hand. Her assistant, Kel, sat at his station, feet propped up on one of the side consoles, a coffee in one hand, a bag of trail mix in the other. On his screen, a DeLorean scorched through a mall parking lot. That movie again? Morning, boss, he babbled, hastily tapping his screen to diagnostic feedback. I hope that's not all your night shift consisted of. Kel was pudgy and a full head shorter than her. He had curly hair that only contributed to his boyish demeanor. Was wondering when you'd show up. She arched a brow as he grinned sheepishly. Wasting lab time was beneath him. He was quick and reliable in a crunch, and she needed him alert, not red-faced, so she let it slide. As she logged in, the building groaned, louder than usual, like a subfloor had buckled an inch closer to the surface. She shot him a sideways glance. That's your entire breakfast? Hey, you're the one who said I needed protein, he replied with a light southern accent, winking. I said eat real food, not squirrel bait. He laughed and stayed for a moment. Ops flagged something weird on one of the rejuvenation pods downtown. You see the alert yet? Rebecca frowned as she stabbed a piece of lettuce. Hate those things. Which unit? Station 4, Civic West. Local maintenance flagged a harmonic issue. Time's arrow is all over the place. Don't know why people pay for a cellular reset when it's superficial anyway. Ah, come on, boss. No one wants to get older. Everyone uses them. Not everyone, she said to herself. She set her salad aside and leaned forward in her chair. All right, send me the logs. I'll take a look once this batch is done. Cal nodded and gave the doorframe a double tap as he walked away. She opened the coil diagnostic screen. Lines of data scrolled by in their usual confusing way, input voltages, gradient changes, calibration drift. Nothing abnormal. Her finger hovered over the touchpad as she ran through them again, finding it difficult to focus on the numbers. She closed her eyes and tried to shake the image of Richard Connors from her head. She replayed the moment again, the way his eyes had met hers. Not passing interest, not recognition from a press photo. Something more. He had seen her like someone sees a memory they didn't realize they still had. Security might have a recording of the tram stop, she thought. She reached over to buzz them down on the base floor but stopped, finger on the button. Get it together. She massaged her temples and refocused on the screen. She loved numbers and readouts. Solving problems was the rhythm of her life. She pulled up the logs that Cal had sent her. Another problem she knew she could solve. But something was different, not in the data. In her.